I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good Saturday morning. And if you would, grab that can opener and let's open up this can of Weekend in the Outdoors. That's what we do here. Welcome to the show that helps you make successful and memorable fishing and hunting trips. It's what we do. You're also welcome to participate us through our text line. Text us your questions, your comments. Tell us who you are, where you are, and what you got going on this Saturday morning. We take we have some opinions that we like to hear about, too. And today we're going to ask you, based on your experiences, do you think that Louisiana needs to reduce the red drum catch to increase recruitment to replenish the species to keep up with what we're taking out? Well, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries biologists, they do. They believe it. And they said so in a report to the commission. And they are in the process of preparing scenarios that will accomplish that. And by the way I'm looking at it, it looks like some of these cuts on sizes and limits could be pretty deep on redfish. Love to hear from you. That line, by the way, is 504-260-187. If you haven't put it in your favorites, please do so. 504-260-187. As far as the hunting scene, tomorrow's going to close out the first split of duck season for both the east and the west zones here in Louisiana. How's it been for you? And how about you deer hunters? How you guys doing? Communicate with me. It's easy for you from your deer stand while you're out there listening. Also, I've gotten some really good small game reports, good squirrel hunting, and this year the rabbit guys are probably just getting cranked up, waiting for some cold weather. Personally, I had a hunt this week with five-time state duck calling champion Mike Smith. We went out to Delacroix where he's been doing a little better than last year. We had a fairly decent hunt. We'll find out what he's been doing since then and get a mid-season report also from Captain Ryan Lambert. Tomorrow I'll be heading to White Lake for a waterfowl hunt, a lottery hunt, and I'll have a report on that for you next week. By the way, those of you who have been looking at my Facebook page and wondering what species of duck that is what is known as a greater scaup is the official word. In Louisiana, they called Big Dogri. It's actually the Dogri or Bluebill or Scaup, whatever you want to call it, but it is a bigger bird. It's actually a different species, a little bit different coloration on the head, much bigger bill, and a bigger body. They're pretty rare. We used to get a lot of them down here, and they come late in the season, and fortunately we bagged one on that trip with Mike Smith. Also, we got a couple of bad boys that were cited for an offense. We really haven't seen one of these in a while. We had a rash of them popped up a few years back. And I'm talking about people killing black bears in Louisiana, which was a threatened and endangered species. We'll tell you their story coming up. And by the way, that Facebook picture that wasn't very appetizing, that's exactly what that was. That was a deteriorating carcass of the black bear that was illegally killed. We got a whole lot more about that story to tell you. Taking a look at your forecast, if you're headed out, I'm looking at the radar. There's some light, patchy rain in and around Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. It's kind of scattered. You're looking at about a 40% chance of rain today, probably a little less tomorrow, maybe 30. Southeast winds, 5 to 10, 2 to 4 feet. That's the offshore picture today. If you're going to be inside, southeast wind, 5 knots with a light chop. Two things I want to caution you about on a day like today. If you're saltwater fishing, possibility of fog, and we'll get some more updates on that from our field reporters. And also those pesky little critters that can really ruin your day. I'm not talking about mosquitoes. I'll take mosquitoes any day over gnats. This could be some gnat-type weather. We'll find all that out, figure it all out, and love to hear from you. Again, our text line is 504 260-1870. We're back right after this where we come to you via the Westwood One Satellite Network. You're listening to Outdoors with Don Dubuque on the radio network.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we start off Saturday mornings down in Shell Beach in the heart of St. Bernard, and we talked to Robbie Campo at Campo's Marina to give us the lowdown on what's ahead. Robbie, first things first, fog conditions, how is it?
Well, Don, you know, on my drive into work this morning, it was pretty pea soup thick through Miro and all through Violet and all the way down here, actually. I have a few duck hunters that went out this morning. They better know where they're going because, I tell you, you can't see, you know, you can't hardly see across the channel there. So it's pretty thick this morning. And, with that said, you better have your gnat spray when it starts breaking daylight, I can imagine, because, I'm sure those critters are going to be out and hungry.
Well, that's the price we pay for warm-up conditions in December and light winds.
You know? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. But I tell you, the fishing has been phenomenal this week. You know, it did really well fishing all this week, even though we had that front come through. That didn't stop the fish from biting. You know, I had just a couple guides go out when that wind was blowing really hard earlier in the week. And, man, they did really well. They did really well yesterday. And I tell you something, Don, you know, it's, you know, duck hunting is, you know, because I got more people coming out of here to go duck hunting, to go to that Biloxi Marsh area over in the WMA over there. It's not what it was, but it is better than it has been in the last 8 years. So I tell you, with this drought that we've been having, I think a bunch of those birds flew down this way and, you know, they're killing some good gray ducks out there, you know, along with some teal and everything else. But I mean, you know, but they're getting some gray ducks out there, which we haven't seen in quite a while. So, you know, I think the duck hunting, you know, this year is not what it was, but it's an improvement. I got to say that it's an improvement. So, with that said, if you're duck hunting and you want to go somewhere where you don't have to pay for a lease and you just head out to that Biloxi Marsh out there and find you a spot, because it's, you know, it's 40,000 acres of open territory that, you know, you can hunt wherever you want if you find birds.
Yeah, and the good thing about hunting in the Biloxi Marsh as opposed to hunting, say, rice fields and inland areas is you bring your rod and reel with you. When you finished early morning duck hunt, you can catch some speckled trout and reds on the way in.
Absolutely, yeah. You go do the blast, and then you go do the cast on the way home. And you know, if you get you a few ducks and you get you some speckled trout or redfish or whatever, you know, you know, you got two things to stink up the pot instead of just one.
Yep, and that's a good way to do it. Well, how's the live bait availability?
Live bait, we have plenty. We got plenty of live bait on hand. Everything's full. All we're doing is waiting for fishermen to show up today so they can come get some of them. We got, you know, everything that we have is full of live shrimp right now. So if you're coming on down to St. Bernard Parish this morning and you want to fish out of Shell Beach area, come on down and hook the left at the bridge and come on down and see us. And we got plenty of live shrimp. We'll get you overboard. We're going to get you going and we'll have you out there before these other guys get out of line. So make sure you hook that left.
Robbie, I got people texting me right now. Probably some of them are on their way down and didn't, you know, get the right stuff for the gnats. And they're asking about That thing that I recommend, that Victoria's Secret sells, called Amber Romance, that's the best thing I've found. And there's some other good ones out there. Do you have anything for last-minute people to pick up there at the marina for that?
Yes, we do. We do. We sell a product from that Mike Weiskoffer from WeChem sells. You know Mr. Mike.
Yeah, I know him well.
And we have a stuff called Buzz Up, and I tell you what, that stuff works really well. So if you didn't grab your offer, you didn't grab your Amber Romance or whatever, we got you covered.
Sounds good. All right, Robbie, thanks for the report, my friend. Help people be careful in that fog. Hope it clears up soon, and we'll check in with you again next week.
Okay, Don. Talk to you later, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, Robbie Campo down at Campo's Marina. All right, taking a look at our text message board. Let's see. We got a birthday today. Happy birthday to Urson. Urson, Pete, and Avon, they're going to fish the bridges of Grand Isle. Greg was supposed to go, but guess where Greg is? He's getting an early start on drinking for the LSU game. Woo, real early start. All right, they're going to Golden Meadow again after the trial, too. Greg's going to get thrown in the water if he's in his spot, so be careful, Greg. I also got a good morning from a good friend, Roland Cortez. He's up in northeast Louisiana at Dave's Bayou Lodge and Outfitters. Said the duck season up there has been real good. Our Alabama friend, the Backstrap Stacker. Yeah, we got all these nicknames. He's checking in from Clark County, Alabama, as he usually does. Got a muggy morning up there. Yeah, all across the Gulf Coast. It's muggy and going to be warm. He's wishing good luck to all the hunters today. And we got a good morning from way up in northwest Ohio. WWL is my only thread to home. So know someone is missing y'all and is sick for home. Yeah, I can imagine a Louisiana guy stranded up in Ohio. All right, let's see. We got this one says, what is the name of that stuff good for the gnats? You said sold at Victoria's Secret. That's from the Big Man Bassin. It's a product called Amber Romance, and it's available in both a spray and a lotion. I keep a bottle of the lotion in my tackle box. It's the best thing I've found. It wasn't created as an insecticide. It was created as a, it was for the fragrance, almost like a perfume, and also, a body lotion. But somebody discovered it, and when you walk in and you tell them you need the stuff for the gnats, they know exactly. There's been so many people. There's some other good products. The one that Robbie was talking about, the Buzz Up, you might want to try that. Some people say skin so soft. I've never found that work. But whatever you do, when you're sweating, when you're dipping your hands in, that's why you need a bait net. You'll kill your bait if you put that stuff on your hands and you reach in the water. You got to keep applying it every so often. So make sure you have plenty of it. Those gnats are real pests. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, and we're going to get to some more of your text messages. Also tell you what's going on with the redfish situation. We're going to probably see some deep cuts. Also, I'm going to throw a little shout-out to a gun show that's taking place this weekend, and hope you'll stop by there. We'll be right back to talk about it after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, I'll get to some of your text messages in a second. I was going to kind of hold this for a little bit later on, but I think now's the time to do it. Talking about the redfish, I zoomed in to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting this past Thursday. One of the items on the agenda was to talk about the redfish. There's been a lot of talk among fishermen, some empirical evidence that redfish numbers are declining. The fishermen are just not catching and seeing what they used to, pretty much demanding that something be done. The biologists conducted a pretty exhaustive study and survey and had it peer-reviewed, and here's their conclusion. They say that the red drum is not overfished, which would mean depleted, but it is being overfished, and it's been going on for almost the last 10 years. It began a downward trend actually 17 years ago in 2005, and the recent recreational landings are the lowest they've been observed since back in the 1980s when the redfish were really in trouble. Current recruitment is at its lowest level and has been declining since 1994. Recruitment means allowing fish to escape the juveniles to become breeding stock. The escapement rate, they say, needs to be at about 30%. Right now, it's at 20%. Therefore, that means there's got to be some cuts done, whether that's in terms of the daily bag limit, That means limiting the size to encourage more release, maybe eliminating charter captain guide limits, which is actually only about 2%. The unknown factor of bow fishing's impact, they say they have no stats to be able to tell through science if it really has any impact one way or another. So they would need to keep or eliminate fish over the slot, maybe. That's going to be considered. Shrinking the slot size at 16 to 27. If you tighten that down, then more fish will have to be released. Maybe sacrifice the number of fish, go from the present 5 fish limit to a smaller limit. All these things are going to be offered in scenarios. And this is not like speckled trout, which was complicated in its own right. There are hundreds of combinations. And I'm looking at some of them, and you can find this on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. But if we were to keep, right now you got a 16 to 27-inch slot limit. What that means, if you catch a fish anywhere from 16 inches, at least 16, and under 27, you can keep 5 of those fish. One of your 5 can be over that slot, which is 27 inches. If we were, according to their study, to get, and they need a 35% savings reduction in the number of fish, and in order to accomplish that, with a 16 to 27 inch, the present day slot, according to what I'm looking at, we'd have to go to 1 redfish, and that would allow 1 over the slot. If you took none over the slot allowed, no big fish, then at the 16 to 27, you could probably go to maybe 2 fish. It would be 34.2%, which is underneath the 35% goal. 1 would give you about 54%, so that would be plenty. But you're talking about to keep the slot size we have now, you're probably going to 1 fish, possibly 2. Now, to keep 5 fish, you'd have to increase your slot size, shrink it, in other words, 17 to 20 inches. That's pretty tight. You only got a 3-inch window there. And if you're going to keep 1 over the slot size and keep 5 fish, which is what the limit is now, you'd have to raise the slot size up to 19-inch and shrink the top end down to 24. So you'd be looking for redfish between 19 and 24 inches. So, and there are just hundreds of possibilities. You know, there's all kind of slots from 16 to 20, from 19 to 30, and then you're not looking at anything over the 5 fish. There's probably, I would say, most certainly going to be a reduction in the number, and maybe if it lands around 3. Now, here's where the public comes in. The public gets to have their opinion heard. They're going to send out surveys by email. Those will be turned over to the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, which they reminded me at the meeting that, yes, this is a democracy, but it's a representative democracy where we have people who are in positions that look at all the information coming in, and they make the decisions for you with your input. So there's going to be some preferences that are going to be desired, and the commissioners will take all of that into account, and sometime probably next year we'll be seeing a notice of intent, like we saw on the speckled trout. That's under the works right now. They're looking at 13.5-inch minimum with a 15-fish creel. Something will be presented and adopted for oversight by the commission, and probably sometime, maybe late next year or early in 2024, we may finally see some actual changes in the redfish. Well, my question to you is, what are you seeing out there? Are you just agreeing with this, that there's just not as many redfish? And what do you think the cause of it is? They're throwing out pogey boats, bow fishing, too many charter captains, kayakers. There's so many kayakers out in shallow water catching redfish. There's tournaments, which most of those are catch and release, but there is some mortality on that. I'd like to hear from you, 504-260-1870 is our text line. You can do that, plus tell us who you are, where you are, what you got going on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about gun shows in the United States. Very, very important issue. Back with that right after this timeout. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we got fishing and hunting reports coming up from Mitch Jurisich. We'll hear from Darrell Carpenter in Grand Isle. Captain Mike Gallo reports on Pontchartrain, Lake Bourne, Biloxi Marsh. We also have Brendan Bayard with your paddler's report. And a couple of duck hunters, Ryan Lambert and Mike Smith, will get their mid-season reports. Tomorrow wraps up the East and West Zone first splits. The West Zone actually has three splits this year and gives the Ducks a little chance to rest and reload, and also the hunters. And we'll see how their season's going for them as far as this part of the year. All right, let's take a look at some of the text messages coming in. And this one is from our friend Ed over in Wilmer, Alabama. Ed's been on the shelf lately, but he did get to hunt one day this week. But unfortunately, nothing was moving. Wildlife must have took the day off. They do that, Ed. They take days off, too. It was good to be in nature. I know that. When you don't get a chance to get out there, you just got to get out there, no matter whether the wildlife is moving or not. I hope you're getting better, Ed. All right, I got a couple of requests for that product, for best product for the gnats. It's called Amber Romance. You will smell very sweet, so you might have to do some explaining when you get home and your wife smells you, but it's actually a very effective insecticide. Spray or lotion, it's available at Victoria's Secret. All right, here's one. Thanks for the app. We can listen to you from Costa Rica. Heading today for tuna and marlin and mahi. Unfortunately, we're missing granddaughter's gymnastics competition in Hattiesburg. They always support Bella and her gymnastics. Well, good luck on the tuna and the billfish. Hope you bag some. All right, here's Justin in the refuge. He's fogged in over there in Gentilly. He crashed his car after 43 years of driving. Nobody hurt, but body damage to the car. Everybody do yourself a favor. Don't crash your car. That might be the best tip of the morning there. Thank you for that, Justin. Here's one says, I believe our natural resources are being diminished due simply to overpopulation of people. What are we going to do about that? That's Bro James in Hammond. That's a serious question, James. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second pause for station identification. When I come back, I want to talk about the gun shows that happen all across America. We'll be back to do that. But first, we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. This weekend, there's going to be a gun show. It's called Murphy's Gun Show, and it's going to be at the Castine Center, which is in Mandeville. It's right adjacent to Fountain Blue State Park off the main Highway 190 there. And it got me thinking about these gun shows, and you may have seen some of the videos that I saw from China. And it's rare that these escape and get out, because part of the tyrannical government control in China is they censor what goes out about what goes on in China. And I was watching the people who are protesting. They finally had enough. They've been for 3 years quarantined, penned up with the COVID situation, and they're tired of it, and they want their freedom. And they were out there in the streets taking on the enforcement. I don't know whether it was military, police, or a combination, who had shields and batons. And these people were defending themselves, and because they were being trying to be forced to get out of the street and not protest, which is free speech. They don't allow that in China. And they were using pieces of tin and sticks and stuff. You know, and I'm thinking, nobody over there has guns. And that's what happens when your guns, your gun rights, your Second Amendment is lost. And people say, well, you know, how are you going to defend yourself against a tyrannical government with a shotgun or an AR-15? Let me tell you, enough people with enough weapons, it would be impossible to go door to door and take that over. And it's important, the Second Amendment, and to have these opportunities to buy guns freely at these gun shows of this type. And when they framed our Constitution, that Second Amendment wasn't to give hunters the right to go out and shoot squirrels. It was part of it. But it was also for self-protection of life and property. But also, and most importantly, what they thought, because they were very familiar with tyrannical governments, was resist the control of a tyrannical government. So if you go into that show today or any gun show, tell them Don Dubuque told you thank you, and we appreciate you hosting those shows and letting us exercise our freedom of the Second Amendment to own, purchase, and bear firearms. Again, that's going to be Murphy's Gun Show, Casting Center Mandeville. Just tell them Don said thank you when you walk up to the check-in desk there. All right, getting back to our text line here, this one says Jay Bull. That's a new name, Jay Bull. He's checking in at the Big Branch National Wildlife Refuge. Deccan 1A is picking up the slack. The Steel Man is overseas, and the rest of the crew is in the duck capital of the world. Lou, my dog, got placed on IR, sliced a pad, open hunting the other morning. Oh, sorry to hear that. Lou, get better. Ducks or no ducks? Sausage and duck gravy on the menu this afternoon. That's the attitude, Jay Bull. Good luck to you over there at Big Branch. And give me a good report when you come back. I'd like to know how's been going over there. All right, here's a text. Don is a sight fisherman. I feel like the slot reds are starting to rebound. With that being said, I would love to see the slot narrowed. I think the commercial take on our bait fish, coupled with the loss of habitat, will have an unavoidable effect. I don't think it's necessary to harp on one user group, but a reduction in take will help weed out the folks who only go to kill. That's Tommy Myla. And, well, you know, the pogey boat situation, we told you about the bycatch, the redfish. It's been proven. It's obvious that they're taking a take of the big bulls, the breeders. And then when they come inshore illegally, where they're not supposed to be, they're also taking some of the juveniles. All right, here's one says, I think diminishing redfish, at least in the marsh, because we have lost so much habitat to hold. Reggio has lost so much marsh in the series of storms since Katrina. That is true also. We're fighting a coastal erosion problem in Louisiana. We're losing habitat. And, again, the remedy for all of these problems and shortages of fish is to reduce the take. It's pretty much the only thing we can control. How we do that and when we do it, that's what's got to be determined. And you'll start seeing that at some time, probably after the first of the year. You'll get a survey, and it'll be asking you what you think. And if you want to get a really good explanation, go on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website and check it out. It's all there in black and white. All right, we got Rooster Peepaw Patrick there in Senla looking for wood ducks. It's hot, 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 and foggy, foggy, foggy. That makes it tough to catch those early morning flying wood ducks through the trees when you even got a little fog in there. All right, we come back after this. Miss Juris has joined us. We got a fishing report coming up from Empire right after this timeout. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, I'm traveling down Highway 23. We're sending our camera down there. We're getting close to Empire. Let me see if I can see through the fog there. Move some of that fog, wave it out. Oh, there he is, Mitch Juricic at the Delta Marina in Empire. Hey, Mitch, how you doing in the fog?
Oh, it's foggy, Don. You better believe it. You know, we can expect that this time of year when it warms up after we had some cool weather. You know how it goes. So, but anyway, it'll clear up after a while. We're going to have a beautiful day down here today.
That's the good thing about fog. It usually has some nice weather once it does burn off and clear out. How's the fishing been down there? Man, I've been getting some really good reports from further down around Venice. Have your guys been going down that far, or are they fishing closer to home?
No, they're fishing closer to home. You know, right, even in the river and everything right here, not too far from Empire, by Stricklocks and all of that, by the gaps and everything. They've been catching redfish, speckled trout. It's just been phenomenal. In the back, when the weather's right, you know, behind Empire right here, it's just everywhere you go. In the harbor itself, you know, there've been limits of speckled trout coming out the harbor right here, you know, inside the harbor by the marina and everything. It's kind of funny, you know, that when the wind's blowing real hard, people, I look at the parking lot, it's like, wow, what's happening here? You know, people are stacking in. But, you know, when it's windy now with the river low and the fish being in the river and everything, they just, you know, they, the wind's not a problem, because they can get in the river, get on a lee shore and still, you know, catch the fish and catch speckled trout, redfish. It's sad to say they're catching a bunch of flounders, you know, and they're having to let them go and stuff like that. Well, I don't know if it did it open again now.
It's now reopened. It opened this week, right, December 1st. So they can, if you catch those flounders, you can keep them now.
Yeah, that's a good thing, because, man, it was killing them to throw flounders back after so many years of not catching flounders. They were taking pictures of releasing flounders. But it's a good thing. You know, we're seeing things on a rebound, and even the redfish, the size, you know, there was a bunch of undersized redfish a couple months ago. Well, now those are making legal size, and it's really picked up. It's looking a lot better, you know. I think the little slump for a little while was hurting, but you know what we're looking at. You know, they're coming in with their limits of redfish, and they're being very conservative. You know, they pick it through and being sure, you know, they're not overdoing it, and which is a good thing. You know, it's time to think, you know, okay, how many fish do I need? You know, I think this speckled trout limit coming up will help. You know, when you catch 15 speckled trout, that's 30 fillets per person. That's a lot of fillets.
That's a lot of fish
to eat. It sure is, you know.
Well, it's good to get the rebound on remembering, triggering our memories, what happens when we get a low river. It's been so long since we've had it, but it just really does make the fishing good. Well, let me get to something real serious. You got a deer yet this year?
Not any. Don, I went up for Thanksgiving to go have Thanksgiving dinner with the family. You know, I'm caught up in this darn election.
I know.
I've been doing this, and I wound up in a runoff, and it's taking everything I got to try to, you know, I want to get over this threshold. As soon as December 10th comes, win or lose, I'm going to shoot me a deer. And they better look out because I got a vengeance. I'm not going to be so picky this time. I'm going. But I did spend a little bit of time in the woods getting the stands and all prepared. I've just been really busy. You know, the Marine has been doing really well. We've had a spectacular fall. The restaurant's doing real well. And you know, but then the oyster business has really been off the charts as well. So everything I got going on is wide open. But I'm going to take me some time here shortly in the near future, and I'm going to sit a deer stand. My son sat. He saw all kind of deer, nothing to shoot. But, of course, you know, as soon as he gets out the stand, 6 o'clock in the evening, there's this picture, this giant buck comes out in the field. You know, it happens every year,
just like that.
But we know what will happen during the rut. He seems to be pretty regular in this one spot. A bunch of, you know, nice, pretty bucks, but they're a little bit young, you know. But we know when the rut starts, our rut don't start till right around Christmas. So they better look out because Mitch is going in them deer woods around Christmas.
Well, I'm going to have to come down and have dinner at the Ponderosa. Who came up with the name Ponderosa? What a wonderful name for a restaurant.
You know, Don, back in the day, we had this place out by Shell Island in a bayou called Bayou Canard. And my daddy, it grew the best oysters you could ever grow in Louisiana. You know, it's like a Barataria Bay oyster, you know. But of course, Bonanza, and we had some shrimp nets. You know, we used to have the bayou, and we had a big old net across the bayou. Back in the day, there was very limited restrictions. So we used to catch more shrimp, more fish, more oysters, the best oysters growing in the world. Well, my daddy named it the Ponderosa because of Bonanza. Remember the old show Bonanza?
Sure. Yeah, Hop Seng was the head chef there, and yeah, the Cartwrights.
Right. Yeah, that's right. So what happened was, I'd say, all right, Pop, I used to call my daddy Pop. I said, where are we going to work today, Pop? He said, we're going to the Ponderosa. So we built a camp out there and everything, so we called it the Ponderosa. I didn't realize, you know, to bring back memories, my dad passed away and everything. So when I reopened the restaurant, I said, you know what, I want to name it the Ponderosa after, you know, our family legacy. Well, I didn't realize Ponderosa, if you define it in a dictionary, means home. So that even made it more heartwarming, you know, like, come on home to the Ponderosa, have dinner with us, you know.
Well, that's a perfect name, and you got some great food, and you're making me hungry, so I'm going to have to break loose and get down there. Mitch, thanks for the report.
The oysters are off the chart.
Well, I'm going to get some. Nice and salty, I can imagine.
Oh, man, you better believe it. I tell you, it's hard not to eat me a couple dozen a day.
Yes, indeed. Well, good luck on the deer stand, and good luck on the election. Maybe we'll be talking to the next councilman next time we chat with you.
We'll see what happens, Don. We're trying real hard. And good, great talking to you. Missed you. I'm back. Just give me a holler anytime.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, Mitch. Mitch Jurisic down at the Delta Marina in Empire. All right, coming back after this, let's head on over to Grand Isle. Go a little bit west, and we're going to check in with Captain Darrell Carpenter, get some foggy condition updates. And not so bad on the Nats over there. But I tell you what, where Robbie is, that is the Nat capital of the universe. Coming back after this, Don Dubuque, where you're listening to The Outdoor Show on Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's check in with Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com and get an update on the Grand Isle situation. Darrell, we got looks like a falling tide till about 8 o'clock tonight. It's almost a full foot. We got maybe some fog and light wind conditions. What can you tell us? Sounds like you're on the water already.
No, Don, we've been battling that flu all week. I'm on the road headed back down there. Since Thanksgiving, we've been battling that flu, and it hadn't been anything nice. But no, I mean, it's been pretty good. I mean, they had a few good days this week. Of course, we've been battling the wind like crazy. The speckled trout are still deep in the marsh. We don't have there's some fog on Grand Isle this morning. I can see it on my cameras. It's not that bad, though. But what we normally develop around Grand Isle is it's on the interior marsh. And this time of the year, the majority of our trips are headed toward that interior marsh. So, you know, you're going to have to just kind of play it by ear. You're going to have pockets of fog and pockets that don't. You just got to make sure you got a good working GPS, because everything looks the same when all you can see is 5 feet around you and everything's white. But, I mean, they've been doing some speckled trout in the marsh. We've been kind of running toward that north Barataria Bay area, you know, kind of up there toward where I know you just got through with Mitch. Kind of up there toward him, that, you know, that Wilkinson Canal area, that A5, those areas. And when you get up there, it's a little bit of a different story. You got to get out of that summertime pattern where you've been doing oyster reefs and everything else all summer. You know, up there, you work in those current lines. Like you said, we got about a foot today. You work the current lines where they're coming through those cuts and those ponds and so forth, and the edge of grass beds. We are starting to see more redfish, you know, kind of echoing what Mitch said. Again, the pattern's been, there still haven't been a whole lot, not what we're accustomed to in that slot area. So they're either just in that 17 to 18 inch range, or there's a whole lot of them that are pushing that 27 inch range. We've definitely got a good crop of adults. We just need to fill in a couple of those year classes. But other than that, Don, I mean, they're real hard on fin fish right now. So, you know, live bait, if we're using it, it's all cockahoe minnows. But, I mean, it's been worth going. You just got to be prepared for the weather. And then when it does come down, you got to be prepared for the gnats, because I don't know how bad they've got them over that Breton Sound area, but I can tell you five of them's plenty. Five of them's enough to deal with.
Daryl, you act very active with Louisiana Charter Boat Association, and you've been a captain yourself for a number of years. What do you think is the favoritism for keeping redfish over the slot? They've got two different charts with different scenarios on changing the slot size, changing the creel number, and they're all based on whether you're allowed to keep one over the slot or not. How is important to keep that one over the slot to you and the charter boat industry and the customers, really?
My personal opinion, we haven't surveyed the fleet yet because all this is fresh and new. My personal opinion is it's not worth it at all. And you got to remember now, I'm a Grand Isle captain. I have seen the wanton waste that takes place on all these rodeos. You know, I've seen the constant harvest. You know, people walk up with a dead bull red and they say, oh, this one ain't big enough to make the board. They throw that one away and go catch another. And Let's just face it, Wildlife and Fisheries is incapable of providing the enforcement that we need to enforce all of that. There's just too many spots all around the coast. But I think at this point, I think a kill tournament, a keep of anything over 27, you know, I realize I'm talking to Don, which every now and then we want to get you one for the altar, you know. But I don't know that it's worth it, Don. I wouldn't cry one tear if we had to give up the bulls.
Yeah, well, you know, with the technology now, with everybody's got a camera in their phone, you take a good picture of it, you bring that to the taxidermist, you measure it, you know, maybe if you got a hand scale, weigh it, and then take good care to release it. You can get that fish mounted, which is the purpose for keeping it. If you're going to keep the fish, it's certainly not the best eating fish that's over the slot. So if we get past that, where we say, okay, no keeping fish over the slot, then that's going to make it a little more generous on the creel and also on the slot size by eliminating it, keeping that one big one. I'm with you on that. Yeah. I think they're much more valuable back in the water than they are, you know, throwing them in the trash or, you know, taking what little meat you can get off of them.
Well, after what we saw on Grand Isle this past summer, that was already on our agenda to start with. We were going to start having some conversations about where we go keeping those to start with.
Right. Daryl, thanks for the report. Be careful with the fog. We'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, Don. You have a wonderful day.
To Daryl Carpenter. Look him up, realscreamers.com. All right, hour number one is done. 504-260-1870. Our text board is open. More fishing reports and duck reports coming up on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.